Hello, this is your favorite podcast, Phenomena Nations. I'm your host, Blaze. Okay, so yeah, I remember I cheated you out of your scary stories around Halloween. Cause I'm not to be trusted.
Yeah, cheater.
Kind of a wiener. You can call me wiener.
Don't trust him. He's a wiener.
Okay, so yeah, I got my buddy Elk here.
Hi, what up?
And yeah, hey, we're gonna be telling you the scary stories I cheated you out of.
Really?
Yes, really.
I love scary stories.
Happy Halloween. Ow! Story 1. Hachishaku-sama.
That's not a word.
Japanese it is.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. My grandparents lived in Japan. Every summer, my parents would take me there on holiday to visit them. They lived in a small village, and they had a big backyard. I loved to play there during the summer. When we arrived, my grandparents always welcomed me with welcome arms. Wink, wink. I'm just kidding. I was their only grandchild, so they spoiled me. Last time I saw them was last summer when I was 8 years old. As usual, my parents booked a flight to Japan, and we drove from the airport to my grandparents' house. They were delighted to see me, and had a lot of little presents to give me. My parents wanted to have some time by themselves, wink. So after a few days, they took a trip to another part of Japan, leaving me in the care of my grandma and grandpa. One day, I was out playing in the backyard, and my grandparents were inside the house, you know, doing what old people do, having supper at 3, drinking coffee. It was a hot summer's day, and I lay down on the grass to rest. I stared up at the clouds and enjoyed the feeling of the soft rays of the sun and the gentle breeze. Just as I was about to get up, I heard a strange sound. Po, 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 po. I didn't know what it was, and it was hard to figure out where it was coming from. It sounded almost like someone was making the noise themselves, as if they were just saying po, 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 over and over again in a deep, masculine voice. I was looking around, searching for the source of the noise, when I suddenly noticed something on top of the tall hedges that enclosed the backyard. It was a straw hat, and it wasn't resting on the hedge, it was behind it. That's where the sound was coming from. Ho, 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 ho. Then the hat began to move, as if someone were wearing it. The hat had stopped at a small gap in the hedge, and I could see a face peering through. It was a woman, but the hedges were high, almost 8 feet tall. I was surprised at how tall the woman was. I wonder if she was wearing stilts or some sort of huge high-heeled shoes. Then, a split second later, she walked off, and the strange noise disappeared with her, fading into the distance. Ho, 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 ho. Bewildered, I got up and wandered back into the house. My grandparents were in the kitchen drinking tea, like old people do. I sat down at the table, and after a while, I told my grandparents what I had seen. They weren't really paying attention to me until I mentioned that distinctive sound. Ho, 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 ho. As soon as I said that, both of them suddenly froze. See, because old people get cold really fast, you know? My grandma's eyes grew wide, and she covered her mouth with her hand. Grandpa's face became very serious, and he grabbed me by the arm. "This is very important," he said in an intense voice. You must tell us exactly how tall she was."
"As tall as the garden hedge," I replied, beginning to get scared.
My grandpa My grandfather bombarded me with questions. Where was she standing? When did this happen? What did you do? Did she see you? I tried to answer all his questions as best as I could. He suddenly rushed out to the hallway and made a phone call. Because, you know, they had house phones back then. Like old people. I couldn't hear what he was saying. I looked over at my grandma and she was trembling. Grandpa came barging in back into the room and spoke to my grandmother. I've got to go out for a while, he said. You stay here with the child. Don't take your eyes off him for a second.
But I have to poop, I said.
No, I'm just kidding. What's going on, Grandpa? I cried. He looked at me with a sad expression in his eyes and said, You've been liked by Hachishaku-sama. With that, he turned out, got into his truck, and drove off. I turned to my grandmother and cautiously asked, Who's Hachishaku-sama? Don't worry, she replied in a shaking voice. Grandpa will do something. There's no need for you to worry. As we sat nervously at the kitchen table, waiting for my grandfather to come back, she explained what was happening. She had told me there was a dangerous thing that was haunting the area. They called it Hachishaku-sama because of its height. In Japanese, Hachishaku-sama means 8 feet tall. Ha! It is a word. It takes on the appearance of an extremely tall woman, and it makes a sound like ho, 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 in a deep male voice. It appears slightly different depending on who sees it. Some say it looks like a haggard old woman in a kimono, and others say it's a girl in a white funeral shroud. One thing that never changes is its height and the sound it makes. A long time ago, it was captured by monks, and they managed to confine it in a ruined building on the outskirts of the village. They trapped it using four small religious statues called Jizos, and they place on the north, south, east, and west of the ruins, and it wasn't supposed to be able to move from there. Somehow it managed to escape. The last time it appeared was 15 years ago, my grandmother said that anyone who saw 8 feet tall was destined to die within a few days. It all sounded so crazy. I wasn't sure what to believe. When my grandpa came back, there was an old woman with him. She introduced herself as Kei-san and handed me a small crumpled piece of parchment, saying, Here, take this and hold on to it. Then, she and grandpa went upstairs to do something. I was left alone in the kitchen with my grandmother again. I need to go to the toilet, I told my grandmother. My grandmother followed me to the bathroom and wouldn't let me shut the door. I was beginning to get really frightened by all of this. After a while, Grandpa and Kei-san took me upstairs and brought me into my bedroom. The windows were covered in newspaper, and lots of ancient runes had been written on them. There were small bowls of salt in all four corners of the room, and a small Buddha figure had been placed at the center of the room on top of a wooden box. There was also a bright blue bucket. What's the bucket for, I asked. That's where you do your business.
Pee and poop.
Pee and poop, yeah. Grandpa replied. Kei-san sat me down next to the bed and said, Soon the sun will be setting, so listen carefully. You must stay in this room until tomorrow morning. You must not come out under any circumstances until 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Your grandmother and your grandfather will not speak to you or call you until then. Remember, do not leave this room for any reason until then. I will let your parents know what is going on. She spoke in such a grave tone that all I could do was quietly nod my head. You have to follow Kei-san's instructions to the letter, Grandpa told me, and never let go of the parchment she gave you. And if anything happens, pray to Buddha, and make sure you lock this door when we leave. They walked out into the hallway, and after saying goodbye to them, I closed the bedroom door and locked it. I turned on the TV and tried to watch, but I was so nervous, I felt sick to my stomach. Grandma had left me some snacks and rice balls for eating and stuff, but I couldn't eat them. I felt like I was in prison, and I was very depressed and scared. I lay down on the bed and waited. Before I knew it, I was asleep. When I woke up, it was just after 1 a.m. All of a sudden, I realized that something was tapping on the window.
Tappity tap tap tap
tap tap. I felt the blood draining from my face, and my heart skipped a beat. I desperately tried to calm myself down, telling myself it was just the wind playing tricks, or maybe the branches of a tree. I turned up the volume on the TV to drown out the tapping noise. Eventually, it stopped altogether. Then, that was when I heard my grandpa calling me. "Are you okay in there?" he asked. "If you're scared, you don't have to stay in there alone, all alone. I can come in and keep you company if you would like." I smiled and rushed to open the door. But then I stopped in my tracks. I had goosebumps all over my body. It sounded like Grandpa's voice, but somehow it was different. I couldn't tell what it was, but I just knew. "What are you doing?" Grandpa asked. "You can open the door now." I glanced to my left and a chill went down my spine. The salt in the bowls was slowly turning black. I backed away from the door, my whole body trembling with fear. I fell to my knees in front of the Buddha statue and clutched a piece of parchment tightly in my hand. I started desperately praying for help. "Please save me from Hachishaku-sama," I wailed. Then, I heard a voice outside the door saying, "Ho, ho, 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 ho." The tapping on the window started up again. I was overcome by fear, and I crouched down in front of the statue, half crying and half praying for the rest of the night. I felt like it would never end, but eventually it was morning. The salt in all four bowls was pitch black. I checked my watch. It was 7:30 a.m. I cautiously opened the door. Grandma and Kei-san were standing outside the door waiting for me. When she saw my face, Grandma burst into tears. "I'm so glad you're alive," she said. I went down and was surprised to see my father and mother sitting at the kitchen. Grandpa came in and said, "Hurry up, we've got to get going." We went to the front door and there was a large black van waiting in the driveway. Several men from the village were standing around it, pointing at me and whispering, "That's the boy." Good. The van was a 9-seater and they put me in with the middle, surrounded by 8 men. Kei-san was in the driver's seat. The man on my left looked down at me and said, "You've got yourself in quite a spot of trouble. I know you're probably worried. Just keep your head down and your eyes shut. We can't see it, but you can. Don't open your eyes until we've got you out of here safely." Grandpa drove it in front, and my dad's car was following behind. When everyone was ready, our little convoy started moving. We were going fairly slow, around 20K. Or maybe less. After a while, Kei-san said, This is where it gets hard," and started muttering a prayer under her breath. Then I heard the voice. "Ho, ho, 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 ho." I clutched the parchment Kei-san had given me tightly in my hand. I kept my head down, but I peeked outside. I saw a white dress fluttering in the breeze. It was moving along with the van. It was Hachishaku-sama. She was outside the window, but she was keeping pace with us. Then suddenly she bent down and peered into the van. "No," I gasped. The man beside me shouted, "Close your eyes!" I immediately shut my eyes as hard as I could and tightened my grip on the piece of parchment. Then the tapping began. Tap.
Tap, tap, tap. Tappity, tap, tap, tap.
The voice became louder. "Ho, ho, 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 ho." There was the tapping on the windows all around us. All of the men in the van were startled and on edge, muttering nervously to themselves. They couldn't see 8 feet tall, and they couldn't hear her voice, but they kept hearing her tapping on the windows. Kei-san started praying louder and louder until she was almost shouting. The tension inside the van was unbearable. After a while, the tapping stopped and the voice disappeared. Kei-san looked back at us and said, "I think we're safe now." All of the men around me breathed a sigh of relief. The van pulled over to the side of the road, and the men got out. It transferred me into my dad's car. My mother held me close, and tears were running down her cheeks. Grandpa and my father bowed to the men, and they went on their way. Kaysan came to the window and asked me to show her the piece of parchment she had given me. When I opened my hand, I saw that I had gone completely black. "I think you will be okay now," she said. "But just to be sure, hold on to this for a while," she handed me a new piece of parchment. After that, we drove straight to the airport, and Grandpa saw us safely on the plane. When we took off, my parents breathed a sigh of relief. My father told me he had heard of 8 feet tall before. Years ago, his friend had been liked by her. The boy disappeared and was never seen again. My father said there were other people who have been liked by her and lived to tell about it. They all had to leave Japan and settle down in foreign countries. They were never able to go back to their homeland. She always chooses children as her victims. They say it's because children are dependent on their family members. This makes them easier to deceive when she poses as their relatives. He said the men in the van were all blood relatives of mine, and that's why they had been sitting all around me, and why my father and grandpa had been driving in front and back. It was all done to try and confuse Hashishaku-sama. It took a while to contact everyone to get them all together, so that's why I had to stay confined in my room all night. He told me that the little Jizo statues had been broken, and that's how she escaped. It gave me the chills. I was glad when we finally got back home. All this happened more than 10 years ago. I haven't seen my grandparents since then. I haven't been able to do so much as set foot in the country. Afterwards, I would call them every few weeks and talk to them on the phone. Over the years, I tried to convince myself that it was just an urban legend, that everything that happened was just some elaborate prank. But sometimes I'm not so sure. My grandfather died 2 years ago. He was sick, and he wouldn't allow me to visit him, and he left strict instructions in his will that I was not to attend his funeral. It was all very sad. My grandmother called a few days ago. She said that she had been diagnosed with cancer. She missed me terribly and wanted to see me one last time before she died. "Are you sure, Grandma?" I asked. "Is it safe?" "It's been 10 years, she said. "All that happened a long time ago. It's all forgotten. You're all grown up now. I'm sure that won't be a problem." But what about Hachishaku-sama?" I said. For a moment, there was silence on the other end of the phone, and a deep, masculine voice saying, "Ho, ho, 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 ho."
Yeah, so it's a scary story, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
It's pretty dank. I'd say it was pretty scary. I liked how well that was written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah.
It was pretty good, I guess.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, okay. On to the next story?
Yeah. I don't know how to read.
You're dumb. Where's my liver? It was in your body all along. Go straight to the store and don't fool around, his mother said sternly as she handed over the money. Your father's boss is coming over to dinner tonight, and we're having his favorite meal.
with liver and onions. It's important that we make a good impression, so get the best liver they got.
I will, Ma. P.S. That speech impediment that we're giving Tommy was created by the guys over at Blurry Photos, the greatest podcast ever except for this one. Tommy sulked. His mother had really been after him since he brought home that failing report card. You dumb kid. Tommy grabbed his bicycle from the garage and rode down the street. Then he saw his friend Chad. Come on, Tommy. Chad called. The gang's playing baseball over at the park and we need a pitcher. Immediately, all thoughts of his errand fled from Tommy's mind, because he's dumb. The boys headed towards the park. Tommy pitched a no-hitter to win the game for his team. But by the time it was over, it was Dirk. Then Tommy remembered his errand. The liver! He gasped. I've got to get to the store. But all the local groceries were closed. My mom's gonna curl me! He gasped. But the bad report card and now this? He would be grounded for lurf. As he rode home past the cemetery, he got an idea. It was an awful idea, but it would save him from
super bad.
From the even more awful fate that awaited him if he came home without a liver. Check your body, man. Yeah, he's just dumb. His great uncle had died a few days ago and had been buried in the cemetery. See, it's buried, not buried. It's like the earth
it's
is
buried.
It's like the earth is round. No, it's not. His great uncle had died a few days ago and was buried in the cemetery. What harm would it do to remove it? His uncle certainly didn't need it. Tommy hurried home as silently as he could and got his father's shovel. He returned to the cemetery and began digging up his uncle's grave. That night, his mother cooked up the liver and onions, and the boss raved about the meal and had such a good time, they didn't leave until quite late. Tommy went to bed that night, relieved he'd gotten away with it. You cannibal. He fell asleep almost as soon as his head hit the pillow, but woke with a start soon after. Sure that he had heard a voice. Where's my liver?
No, a ghost. Where's my liver?
I don't care. I'm gonna read it how I want to read it. A ghostly voice rose up from the staircase, deep and guttural. Tommy gasped in fear and flung himself under the covers as a thud of heavy footsteps reached the top of the steps.
Thump, 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 thumpty, thump, thump.
The footsteps drew nearer until they reached Tommy's door. Who's got my liver? The horrible voice asked again. Gurwee! Gurwee! Tommy whispered repeatedly. His whole body trembled in terror as once more the voice asked, Where's my liver? Who's got my liver? Sheer terror made him suddenly bold. Tommy threw back the covers and found the shriveled white face of his great uncle right above him. We hurt your liver, he shouted. I know you did, Tommy, the rotting corpse of his great uncle said softly, stretching out his bony hands towards Tommy's shaking body. Tommy screamed, Erner! The next morning, Tommy's parents discovered their son lying dead on top of the bed. His liver had been ripped out of his body, but the autopsy proved that the boy had already died of fright before his liver was removed. But is that really the end?
Yeah.
Well, actually, his parents' lives were improved immensely. They got all the money that they've been saving up for whatever his name's Jeremy's college fund. They got that money. His boss got his dad got a raise because the boss loved the Durner. And no one really liked Tommy or his weird speech impediment. Anyway, so yeah.
And so, I have a why would they make that scary story where they're all cannibals?
Well, they didn't know it was a cannibal.
Yeah, but still, just so I didn't. Damn! I didn't know I ate somebody's arm. Does that not make me a cannibal? Or does it?
Well, we could discuss that, but I don't want to. Because you smell.
What?
Okay, so yeah, that was your scary story.
Why'd you say on my butt?
Shut up. Okay, so yeah. And if you hopefully maybe I'll just come out with one random scary story every once in a while. But on Halloween, I'm gonna do a bunch of them. So you know.
The scariest of stories.
Keep your pants on.
No. Wear a diaper, you might pee yourself.
Yeah. Don't drink any liquids.
Or eat any food, because you might poop, you know.
You're gonna poop your pants. But anyway, yeah. That was our first scary stories, second scary stories episode. I'm not too proud of the first one. It was pretty bad. So don't listen to that. Anyway, thank you for listening to another episode of Phenomena Nations.
Yeah.
Again, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Phenomena Nations podcast. Did you really think I would forget my famous Chuck Norris fact? Okay, here's a good one. Chuck Norris can tape a flashlight to the back of his car and drive at the speed of light. You know, because he's just that awesome. Okay, yeah. And I'd also like to say where my podcast is available for all you other, for all your friends that don't have Apple Podcasts or whatever you're listening to it on right now. So, I'm on Apple Podcasts, I'm on Breaker, I'm on CastBox, I'm on Google Podcasts, it's not Google Play, but Google Podcasts is a different app, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Podbean, Radio Public, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Anyway, that's about it. Anyway, thank you for listening to this episode of Phenomena Nations podcast. And have fun sleeping, because we told you scary stories. Boogity boogity boo.